Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 249 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I, we finally return to talk about more Formula One. We apologised in the last episode we did. It wasn't my fault, blame Jamie183. He decided he was going to go away to somewhere without internet to be able to do the show. So it's been a little while since I've spoken to my Formula One friend. How are we doing, sir?
I'm good. Yeah, enjoyed both races, especially the second one was better than the first one while we were away. But yeah, here to recap them both. It's a shame that it's Monday morning and I'm going back to work in not that long because I've had a nice week off. But it wasn't exactly restful because we had like loads of kids to look after. But we made it and we're back.
Yeah, Jamie's kept it very, very quiet on the show, but he's actually got five children. He's been churning them out over the last 2 years. He really does get down to business.
That is not the case, as we well know. I can be doing a podcast once a week if I have five kids.
I can see you being a man with like five children that just doesn't quite know how any of this happened. No, I think to be honest, if anything, we probably picked one of the better Grand Prix not to do a podcast on last week because it would have just been 45 minutes of us moaning that the FIA cannot run on a wet circuit again. And by the time we finally went running, the track had all but dried out. That being said, though, Piastri made a good move on Lando Norris right at the start. And then Norris, when given an opportunity to try and fight with him again at the end, kept making little errors, which is kind of what we've come to expect to see so far this season. I refuse, Jamie. I'm setting a rule this week that we don't talk about Lewis Hamilton whatsoever, because these last two races, as a Hamilton fan, have been painful.
Well, Leclerc's got a podium and a pole, hasn't he? Spoilers in the last two events. And Hamilton... He was out in Q1 in sprint quali and real quali in Spa.
Yes, he was.
And then he was out in Q2 in Hungary.
Yes,
Didn't score points at Hungaroring for the first time in his career when he's finished the race there.
No, yeah, obviously he's DNF before.
And it's not good. And he's like, he should change the driver. He's trying to get out. He's doing an Antonio Conte at Spurs.
Well, apparently as well, he's got an announcement coming on the 8th. Which I'm very scared about. We're going to talk about Lewis Hamilton.
It'll be PR. It'll absolutely be PR.
Well, he said something about how there'll be tears when the announcement comes.
It'll be PR.
Will it be PR or will it be something personal family related is going on, is my other thought. Like, could it be something as simple, or not as simple, because obviously, I mean, I don't know if you have any pets or anything like that. But, you know, if, say, like, Roscoe is being put down or something like that,
Possibly.
It can affect you. You know, it is a distraction at the end of the day or something like that. Either way, we'll kind of wait and see. And, you know, obviously if it's a big enough story, then we might want to do a podcast at the end of the week.
I'm not doing an emergency podcast if it is about Roscoe.
No, absolutely not. But if it's something if it's Hamilton retiring or something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Then yeah. I think it'll be a called for at the end of the day. That'll be a great way to celebrate episode 250, won't it? Hamilton retiring.
You'll just be so sad.
I'll just be depressed. Like we said, though, I mean, do we want to give spot? You haven't been keeping track of the race ratings, have you, over the last few? You've been terrible this year.
I do want to talk about the FIA being, like, because it was a shame, because it kind of screwed over what could have been a really good race, because you had a really good mix of drivers who would sacrifice quali, knowing that the race was wet. So the likes of Max Verstappen, there were more than him, but he was probably the big one, had basically chosen a high downforce setup for the Grand Prix qualifying and race. And then they basically waited an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
An hour and 20 minutes in the end.
Yeah. And they could have started half an hour earlier, at least. And I understand why they didn't, because it's Spa, and obviously you've had the deaths of Antoine Hubert and Danilo Vantoft in the last, 6 years now, in wet conditions. Well, Hubert wasn't even in wet conditions.
No, Hubert was dry.
Vantoft was.
Yeah.
I understand why they don't at a track like Spa, but if that weather was somewhere like, Silverstone, we saw it, didn't we? Or like even somewhere like Hungary, a low-speed circuit, then they would have started 45 minutes earlier in the wet, and it would have made for a great race. But it was a shame to leave it so long.
Yeah, and then again, you think you kind of, because a lot of the drivers were referencing Silverstone, going, you know, we ran there when we shouldn't have. We don't like to defend the FIA too much when we don't have to, but in their defense at Silverstone, the worst of the conditions were incredibly sudden. It was kind of raining a little bit, and then it just dumped a load of water down, which, you know, they can't really do a lot about that instantaneously.
But if the Silverstone weather happened at Spa, they 100% red flagged that. For
absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it feels like, again, I remember, I think it was 2023 when I was there, and it literally started spitting down in the Porsche Supercup race. One car locked up around wide at the bus stop, and they instantly red flagged it. And you're kind of there like going, you know, no one hit a wall, no one did anything. You can't just immediately expect everybody to stop just because, oh no, it might start raining properly. It is a fine
balance.
And
these are the best drivers in the world, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, 19 of the best drivers in Lance Stroll. although, to be fair to him, he did fairly well.
He's told him very well at Hungary. So.
Was the Aston Martin car actually just the best one?
Not the best one, was it?
Is it a high downforce monster? But it's just got an old man and a washed up driver in it. That's the ultimate question, Jamie.
Possibly.
But yeah, I mean, Belgium, like we said, the sprint, nothing happened. Max, brilliant. Obviously, move on Oscar lap one. And obviously, then just control the pace at the front. Not really a lot. Oscar, you know, didn't want to risk it.
Race for Max.
Oscar didn't really want to risk it, though, either. Because, you know, the last thing you want to do is end up having a crash with Max, trashing the car, not being able to qualify properly, and then starting the race on the back. He was still outscoring the one guy he needs to, and that was the important bit. Like we said, Oscar got the move on Lando on lap one. There was a little bit of strategy. Hamilton as well, actually, in Belgium, shout outs to him. He made a really good call early on. Got the jump on quite a few drivers. And then, well, I said to my dad, it must have been pre-sprint, Lewis Hamilton seems to have a tendency of either doing quite well, and I feel like he's done this for quite a few years now, or he does really well, or he finds a Williams car and just sits behind them for most of a Grand Prix in kind of like some trance. And that's exactly what happened in Belgium.
To be fair, he was doing very well. He got up to what, P7, P6?
Yeah, P7 pretty much immediately, and then just stayed there.
And then Albon was in front of him, and he just didn't move for the rest of the race. Similarly, he had the actual two best drivers on the grid, Max Verstappen and Charles Leclerc. Just like, did you see they matched lap times down to a tenth for
pretty much the entire period of the race? Yeah, I think it was sort of mad, wasn't it? Like Leclerc's aggregate lap per lap was something like 47 thousandths of a second quicker.
Yeah,
which, to be fair, even more impressive when he's in a slow car. We did in 2022.
Well, for five races at the start, wasn't it? I mean, yeah, the Red Bull on low downforce would have made the McLarens sweat a bit, I think, in Spa. But, it just wasn't the one on high downforce on a dry track because they just couldn't overtake. So it was a shame. And I was very close, annoyingly, to getting 10 out of 10.
Yeah, this was painful, which has never happened
in the history of the podcast.
No, we've never had a perfect sprint. Yeah. Never had a perfect sprint.
The scores before Spa, we'll do it all together at the end. The scores, I was 3 points ahead going into Spa.
Yeah.
I said Max Verstappen would win the sprint race, which he did.
Yep.
I said Lando Norris would get pole, which he did.
Yep.
Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, Charles Leclerc. So I was the two McLarens away from getting 10 out of 10.
Yep, should have put more pace, more belief in Oscar Piastri.
Yeah, exactly. But 8 out of 10 is not bad. I'll take that.
No.
You said Piastri sprint, no. Russell pole, no. George Russell race win. I don't know where that came from.
I thought Spa was going to be a lot cooler. And obviously Mercedes did well there last year. So I was expecting... Mercedes have often done well this year at the same tracks they did well last year. Ultimately, not well enough.
And then you said Piastri second, incorrect. Norris third, incorrect.
I still get two points.
2 points out of... 10 possible, so I got 8.
Bad. Yeah, that's
I will update
good.
It now. So after Spa going into Hungary, I'm on 43 and you're on 34. Oh dear. That's not gone well.
that's a big loss. I think I did claw some back though at the Hungara ring. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But Hungary though, let's be fair, there's kind of a few main storylines, wasn't it? Obviously, Red Bull again. Kind of had a bit of a stinker. Max was a bit anomalous.
The car was absolutely horrendous.
It was just on a really odd weekend, wasn't it? Where Aston Martin suddenly delivered hilariously good qualifying pace, despite being slowest the weekend prior. I would genuinely make the argument you put a Leclerc in that Aston Martin, he would have been on pole still.
Genuinely,
I think that Aston Martin was. Because I still firmly believe that Alonso is quite far past his best, to be honest.
Well, definitely
we've said
past
it quite
his
a few
best.
Times this year.
He's still good and he's still capable of competing on the grid. But
yeah, but my point is he's... like, is he actually, or is it just because he's going up against Lance Stroll? It's a complete stat
Stroll,
pad,
isn't
he? But he only beat Stroll out by 25 thousandths of a second in qualifying, or something
yeah,
like
but that's
that.
13-0. It doesn't matter how much you beat.
No, I know. But my point is, do you think anybody else on that grid could have gone more than a tenth quicker than Lance Stroll? Yes. Could have been pole for
probably,
Aston Martin.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And their quality pace was definitely more flattering than the race pace was in the Aston. But yeah, the fact he had both of them like less than a tenth and a half off pole position was absolutely hilarious.
Stroll,
and the
0.126 off pole, starts sixth. What an end to quality
yeah.
it was.
It was an amazing Q3. I don't know what happened to the McLarens, but they just didn't turn up.
I assume they completely focused their setup on race pace to look after tyres.
Possibly. But even in Q1 and 2, they were the pace setters, weren't they? And then Leclerc wasn't really anywhere. And then suddenly just popped up on pole and we didn't even see him cross the line on the TV feed.
No, it was hilariously bad race direction. It was kind of, it honestly reminded me of, I think it was Hamilton 23, wasn't it? Because that weekend the track was really slippery. And what it was if you looked at the best combined split times of all the teams, Ferrari were fourth fastest. It was just Leclerc nailed that lap and got all of their best split times. McLaren could have set like a high 14. I think Red Bull and Aston Martin had splits like a 15 flat. Leclerc did like a 15-2 and Ferrari's best was a 15-2. It was just, he was a bit like Lewis in 23, the one driver that got the lap hooked up.
Yeah, I remember Carlos Sainz doing that quite a lot. It feels like every pole he got was always something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, everybody else made a mistake.
But yeah, fair play to Leclerc. He was very surprised. He also said Hungary's his worst track on Friday morning and then sticks it on pole, which is very classic Leclerc.
Yep.
Sadly for him, that was kind of, it started unravelling midway through the race for him. And that makes it, spoilers, 16 poles and one win in his last 16 poles now.
Hilarious track
funny.
Record. The thing is, as well, like I understand it's hilarious to kind of clown on Leclerc for this, but he's genuinely such a good qualifier. Like when you look at most of those pole laps, there's so many there where you're going, it wasn't that the car should have won, it's he shouldn't have put it on pole a lot of the time.
And that's the stat, isn't it? It's Leclerc is qualifying out of position in first.
Rather than... Sometimes
rather
he does choke races as well.
Yeah.
But in the last 16... He converted one, didn't he? Which even then you kind of look back
Monaco
and go, should he
year.
Even... Yeah, that one he should have converted. But you're kind of there looking at it going, a few more, yes, he might have been able to win. But like all those poles in 23, not a chance should he have converted them anyway. You're kind of there going, again, it's more a question raised about how he ended up getting on pole just through brilliant... I mean, it's his record at Baku, isn't it? How many times has that pole there and still cannot win that thing? If I'm not mistaken.
Exactly,
it's just insane. That's probably one of the ones where he could have won. Oscar did very well to get past him. Baku last year. Which, fun fact, Jamie, actually, when you look back at it, I mean, you can always talk about these hypotheticals, can't you? But had Charles been able to hold off Oscar there, that would have meant Ferrari were Constructors' Champions last year.
Yeah, very true. Equally... Max was just doing all he could to screw over McLaren in the last five races, wasn't he? So he basically handed Ferrari a 1-2 at Mexico and USA.
Yep.
So you could, it goes both ways, doesn't it? If Max wasn't trying to be so annoying, McLaren would have easily won the Constructors.
probably, yeah. Yeah. And Lando obviously being a bit of a bottle job as well. We're getting very off topic there.
We are.
Gabriel Bortoleto, Jamie. I've hyped him up a few times this year. I've given you some stick. It's a shame Hülkenberg got that podium. Now we've had a bit of time to kind of settle the dust over that one. It's a bit of a shame because it's basically going to stop him from difficult conversations that Bortoleto is quite often doing a better job.
Yeah, especially these last two races. I mean, including Silverstone, that's three in a row that Hulk's been outqualified by Bortoleto now. Especially the last two, where Bortoleto's got into Q3.
Yep.
And Hulk's been out in Q1.
Yep.
That's not a good look. And that's, you know, it's a good job he's got the podium because now nothing matters.
No, exactly.
But Bortoleto is genuinely doing a really good job. And fair play to him. And Hulk, I think he got the podium and partied a bit too hard, to be honest. And now he's kind
yeah,
of like...
Yeah, 2 weekends off to recover.
He needs the summer break to reset a little bit. But he got the podium. So, you know,
it's all the
who really cares?
All the matters.
Not me.
It still seems like something like in an F1 career mode where like one of those was like 18 cars DNF. And it's like one of the backmarkers just gets a podium because of some stupid glitch.
But it wasn't like, even that. It was just
no, I know, but it's just like you kind of look back at this now, even 3 weeks later, and I know we talked about it, and obviously all the great strategy and great race pace. You're kind of there going, how did that happen? Yeah. It still doesn't make sense.
From 19th on the grid, yeah. It's mental still. Absolutely. But, yeah, the Sauber does show a good turn of pace because Bortoleto has been doing really well in it. Hülkenberg, obviously, the Silverstone was the end of a four-race scoring streak, so he was doing very well up to that point. And then, yeah, hasn't scored points since, whereas Bortoleto has got now 2 second best of the rest, if that's a thing.
That wasn't best of the rest, though, was it? Because Alonso...
No, but second place. Oh, best. He wasn't.
Sorry, second place. Yeah,
he was behind somebody in Spa, wasn't he? And then behind Alonso.
Yeah,
wasn't it? Who finished sixth in Spa? Albon. He was behind Albon and Hamilton, wasn't he? Yeah, midfield. As we're going through it, shout out to Liam Lawson.
Yeah, turned it around recently, hasn't he?
He has. He's got the last 4 races, a 6th place. And 2 8th places, and a lap one incident that wasn't his fault. So, yeah, I think he's doing really well. And Hadjar, I don't think, has scored points in that time.
No, it does feel like VCarb have kind of fallen off a little bit recently, doesn't it? I mean, Jamie said to me before the show, so, I think Hadjar's starting to get a little bit shown up by Lawson now.
Not that far.
But I think for both of them, isn't it, at the moment, it's kind of that element of... It's probably a little bit off. I don't really want to beat the other guy by too much, otherwise Red Bull might demote me into their car.
No, they're not thinking that in the slightest. You're an F1 driver. You're obviously going to try and perform as best you can.
No, exactly.
But Hadjar's doing very well in quali, but he's getting unlucky.
He did also almost break his fingers yesterday.
Yes, he did. But he's not scored points in a little while now.
No. Which we need to discuss that, putting gravel right on corner exits. On things like that, especially on like slow speed traction zones, because that's just a recipe for disaster,
isn't
it? No, it's a little bit stupid, but it's kind of there. Like, what do we actually do to fix it?
Well, do you need gravel at the exit of turn 11 at Hungary?
Could you put a sausage curb there? I mean, we don't like sausage curbs, do we? Because they always end up in disaster. What could you put
But like
there?
The Austria Turn 1 exit curb would work there. Something like
that. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking about. I think they did have one around a few of the corners around here for quite a while as well, I think, if I remember correctly. Or do you remember the old Hungara Ring drains as well? They always did quite a good job. Just the fact the whole circuit was surrounded by drains.
I don't remember that, to be honest.
It was just like, because that's what, I think it was Perez, wasn't it? Like a practice session rolled.
Oh, yes.
When the wheel dug into one of the drains after it had already come off the tethers. That's what we need
Hadjar
back.
Has got... He got a point in the Belgium sprint, but he's 5 races in 5 Grand Prix without points now.
Yeah.
And Lawson's only 2 points behind him.
Yeah. No, it's one of those ones again, isn't it? Where
closing up.
Yeah. I say, we're definitely going to do a podcast, aren't we, over the summer, trying to rate or rank the rookies. Because it has been a very, very interesting storyline, because it feels like all of them at one point or another have kind of showcased themselves to be the best rookie.
The whole midfield is extremely close. Like, obviously, Hülkenberg and Albon are a bit... Hulk's got 10 points on Ocon, but Ocon down to Bortoleto is 13 points, and that's 10th to 17th.
Yeah, no, it is.
Which is, like, crazy.
Yeah, I think, again, it's what great, isn't it? Especially now Sauber this year have kind of turned up as we don't kind of have one clear back marker, which is good. I mean,
apart
you
from
can
Colin
make
Pinto,
the
really.
Yeah, apart from well, even then he's shown good flashes of pace. Still, I still think it was a bit of a sidestep to bring him in for Doohan. I still like to see like a Paul Aaron have a go, or I know it's unlikely now because Bottas seems all but nailed on at Cadillac. But I still would have liked to have seen a Gasly Bottas lineup, because I think putting Bottas in probably could have saved them. Even if it was just
last,
half a season, I think you could have really given those other backmarker teams, or not even backmarker, those other midfielders.
Certainly has.
Yeah, there's some awkward headaches, which would have been great to see.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of midfield drivers or midfield teams nowadays,
Ferrari?
Bull.
Oh.
Red Bull are horrendous. Obviously, Laurent Mekies has had a few races in charge now. We missed his first race. But to be fair to him, he won his first race in the sprint in Belgium.
He did.
But this Red Bull in Hungary was absolutely horrendous. And that was a big shame.
Can we talk quickly about the floor controversy down at Red Bull?
I actually didn't see any of that, so knock yourself out.
Spa was the first time since Imola that Tsunoda had the same floor as Verstappen did. Because, and again, obviously you don't quite know all the internal politics of this, that and the other. Apparently Christian Horner had flat out refused, like they had one there all this time, but they'd flat out refused to give it to Yuki in case Max needed it for like a quarter of the season. Wow. If that doesn't go to show why Red Bull deserve to struggle in the constructors, I don't know what will.
Well, they are running a one-car team, aren't they, basically? Like completely.
Completely, with things like that. Like, it kind of was one of those ones where they're going, I now see why they've had so many problems recently.
Yeah. And they finally gave Tsunoda this floor in Spa.
Yep.
And he qualified seventh, didn't he?
Qualified seventh. Was a tenth off Max, or tenth and a half off Max in Q1 in Hungary. Was just unlucky that both of them struggled.
Red Bull was awful.
Yeah. Literally, he's like, once I get the same car after the summer break, hopefully, you know, like I said, I don't think sensibly thinks he's going to be able to beat Max, but at least if he's at least closer to him. And that's all he really wants. I mean, the problem is, I'm pretty certain Yuki has never actually done a grid start in the Red Bull. It seems like every week he does Parc Fermé changes and starts at the pit lane.
Well, that's because he qualifies so low, so you might as
normally,
well.
Yeah.
But, like, he's without points in Imola when he got 10th, which is pretty poor.
He was unlucky in Belgium. He did get a bit screwed over in Belgium.
He did, because they hauled him in as he was going past the pit entry, so that was...
After he'd gone past pit lane entry. So we just got undercut.
And the crossover period basically defined everything. And from that point on, you couldn't pass. Like, Gasly got into
no one could get past.
Just stayed there.
Yeah.
Kimi Antonelli, who you declared as Ayrton Senna.
I did,
after Miami.
Back in Miami. I didn't declare him as Ayrton Senna. I just declared him as the Ayrton Senna reincarnation.
Since then, he's obviously got that very good podium in Canada. But
apart from that,
six non-points and a 10th place in Hungary.
A couple of those have been mechanical failures. Fault. Yeah. Or quite a few of them, actually, when you look at it. What's that? Two mechanical failures.
Where he wasn't on for hiding to nothing, really.
No, Spain, he was on for points, I thought.
Yeah.
He was running like ninth.
Who cares?
Still
points.
Points are points, Jamie. Hang on a minute. You'd throw Hulkenberg a tea party at the start of the year if he came eighth again.
in a terrible salvo.
Two mechanical failures. He got rammed at Silverstone, so he couldn't do a lot either. Belgium, made a bit of a mistake in the sprint race, and then got again. He was another one that got a bit shafted in the race through bad strategy as well. Although he wasn't going to recover as well as
Hamilton did. Yeah,
qualified
out in Q1. So.
Yeah, and then Hungary was just a bit slow again, wasn't he? It's that horrible thing, isn't it, of where the field is so tightly bunched. Like, you can look at a George Russell comfortably getting into Q3, or a bit like Tsunoda with Max as well. If you're 2 tenths off your teammate, that on paper is not bad, and 5 years ago, that'd be great, back when we had just three dominant front-run teams. But of course, nowadays, that means you're 13th, and in for a terrible race.
Which is great for the sport, but just a bit of a shame for those drivers who are 2 tenths off their teammates.
I still firmly believe there needs to be extra support for rookies coming in. Something needs to be changed to give rookies a better chance. Just because Hulkenberg's getting shown up by Bortoletto.
But
we spoke about this going out of 23 into 24 when we got no rookies in. The problem is it incentivizes teams to not take any risk about trying to bring in new talent. Which, again, obviously this year was a lot better. But I still think there needs to be a little bit more
done. What do you propose? Give him a bigger DRS or something?
No, I'm talking about like an extra day of testing or something like that.
Okay.
At the start of the season.
I could see that.
Like, say, for example, if testing's done, it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday now, isn't it? The rookies should be given Friday as well or something like that.
I just think it entices the teams to take on rookies. Because they get an extra day of testing.
But then...
I almost think you swing it against the older drivers.
You've got a rookie coming in.
And the rookie has to be the one to do the testing, I guess, as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. It would just be that Friday is the rookie. I'm not talking about like a huge overhaul of like they should get, you know, unlimited testing time behind the scenes. But I just feel like they should be given a little bit more.
But that's the beauty of F1, isn't it? It is the pinnacle of motorsport. And if you're a rookie coming in, you've got to perform. Otherwise, you get Jack Doohan. And to be fair to him, he wasn't that bad. But
no, exactly. You get Flavio Briatore is the problem there.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, the bigger problem as well, isn't it, that F2 needs to be overhauled completely or just binned off because it is no longer a good metric for Formula One.
Though some of us can still predict the championship leader back in March, so...
Yeah, I'm gutted I didn't you know back Horner anymore, but I didn't want to jinx him, unlike you.
There we go. Lewis Hamilton, I do want to talk about a little bit because, yeah, what's going on?
I don't want to think about it, man. I just pray that it's not going to be a retirement announcement.
If he does retire, which I don't think he
will, I can't.
Personally.
The thing is, it seems so stupid to do it before a big reg cycle, unless Ferrari have absolutely pooed the bed with the regs.
Or Ferrari
for next
have told him, like the cryptic, the interview where he was like, they need to change the driver. Like, there seems to be more going on. Because, you know, going into Belgium, he was all positive. He's like, oh, I've had meetings with the team, we're going to change all this stuff. We're going to do all this stuff because, you know, I'm here to win an eighth title, really. And it just hasn't... Since he said that, he's been worst form of the season, really, hasn't he?
But Fred Vasseur got re-signed. His contract got extended. This should have been stability, and Freddie V wouldn't want to get rid of him, surely.
No, I don't think he would. And it's not like they've got some crazy good driver to go out for, is it? Unless they... Like, genuinely, I think if Hamilton does retire... They'd probably go and get Carlos Sainz back, to me.
I don't know about that. I wondered whether, you know, could it be hilarious if it turns out they've tried to poach Max or something like that.
I don't think
they had a contract announced from, like, you know, back in the mid-2000s when Ferrari announced Raikkonen midway through 2005 for 2007, whether it's, we've got Max for 27 or something like that would be
that
hilarious.
That would be quite jokes. I don't think Max is brave enough to try and do what four
absolutely
of the champions
not.
Have failed to do now.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not looking good because Leclerc's now on 5 podiums and a pole. And Hamilton's got
a sprint win. A sprint win, which I still firmly believe was probably done in an illegal car. Like, that plankware must have been hilarious.
Yeah, they probably just didn't test it after the sprint.
No. Just crazy. I don't know what that announcement's going to be, but I am a bit nervous.
What do we think about the McLaren title fight in terms of, we said after Silverstone, didn't we, in a little mini break, if one of them wins both races, the title will go their way. If it's one each, we've got a good season on our hands.
Exactly. And to be fair, at the time, I did say it would probably be one each and then went on and predicted Russell to win one of them for some reason. but there we are. We won't talk about that. I mean, to be fair, I think Oscar was a little bit upset coming into Hungary, which was...
Well, rightly so.
Rightly so, because he did get a bit screwed over on strategy. But
and this is why Lando Mercedes, back in the day, always... gave the drivers the same number of stops and just let the drivers play around. They always gave the leading driver the optimal 2-stop, for instance.
But the leading driver should be allowed to pick when he wants to pit and things like that. The one I always think about was Rubens Barrichello. I think it was 2009 Spain, wasn't it? Or after the race, like, he'd done a 3-stop, Jensen did a 2-stop. And of course, for him at that point, that would have been like his first win in 5 years. And he was literally there going, unless I'm given fair and equal treatment here, I'm going back to Brazil and I'm not coming back.
Yes, and then Ross Brawn did. But that's the thing, is... Yes,
and Barrichello won
scenario,
2 races.
He did. In that scenario, they have technically given Barrichello the faster strategy of a 3-stop that day versus a 2-stop. But the way it played out, because it's a motorsport and actually overtaking is a little bit difficult on time to time, the 2-stop was quicker. And it's exactly the same scenario in Hungary yesterday, as we record this, that the 1-stop, if you were in clear air, was absolutely quicker than the 2-stop. You saw it with the Aston Martins. You saw it with the, well, Norris beating Piastri after being, what, 5th on lap 1? Like 5-8 seconds behind?
Yeah.
The problem with giving your teammates in a title fight different strategies is you can do as many simulations as you want. You actually don't know which is faster until you've done a 70-lap race at Hungary. So what they need to do is a bit what Mercedes did back when Hamilton, Rosberg, and Bottas, to be fair, were teammates. They always gave their drivers the same strategy. I remember Mexico's 15, I want to say, after Hamilton had won the title, Rosberg qualifies on pole. It's a two-stop race. They pit both drivers, Rosberg one lap before Hamilton at the start. They pit Rosberg again, and Hamilton on the radio tries to argue, let me go to the end. And the team's like, no. Because they thought he could go to the end and he might beat Rosberg, and that's not fair to give him a better strategy when he was the second driver, because Rosberg might have wanted to go to the end, but they put him. So I feel for Piastri, because, yeah, it was unlucky. He was the faster driver. He qualified ahead. And they basically used Piastri to try and beat... Well, they did a pincer movement, didn't they? They used both McLarens to try and beat Leclerc.
Yeah, and which works great when you're battling Leclerc for a championship, but you're not.
Exactly. Who cares? I think that's what Piastri was saying on the radio when they asked him, do you want to beat Leclerc or Norris? And they were like, Norris. Like, McLaren almost got tunnel visioned on winning this race. Whereas both drivers, if you ask them, are like, all I care about is beating my teammate, realistically. It was signs of an inexperienced title battling team.
Yeah, and it is mad, isn't it? Like, when you think about this for McLaren, of how long it's been. It's kind of bizarre, isn't it? You think, how McLaren, obviously, such an iconic name in the sport, but this is the first time they've really had a dominant car since the late 80s, it was the late 80s. It was 88 was the last time they had a dominant car like this.
A car you this know, dominant, yeah. Yeah.
Sensibly, unless obviously, yeah, you end up with some anomalous, for some reason Singapore always delivers a weird race, for example. Sensibly, yeah, around normal-ish circuits in normal-ish circumstances, they should basically be winning every race between now and the end of the year.
And they almost have won every race up to this point, haven't they? There's been three
they've
races
won
they
haven't most won. Of them, yeah. But it's
and they
it's
should have
just
won
kind...
Japan and Miami and Imola, sorry,
they could have won Japan had they gone for a pincer movement.
Or just qualified better.
Qualified better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And same at Imola.
It's kind of, you've got to have this discussion now. And what I find absolutely mad is that either McLaren will be leading the constructors by themselves, which is quite an impressive feat. But you kind of have to sit down with both drivers and go, you're battling each other for the championship. They're letting you race, which, to be fair, still is good to see from McLaren.
It's great.
I think people often go, oh, you know, Lando's in front. He should be, like, Oscar almost took him out towards the end. That doesn't get talked about enough, that Lando moved across him in the braking zone. Oscar, bit of a ragged dive bomb anyway. But had they come together, I think you could put a little bit of the blame on Lando as
Lando
well.
Lando Norris
there.
Did what Hamilton did last year to Verstappen, but we won't talk
Not
about
quite,
that.
But okay. But it's kind of that. It's kind of this element of, do McLaren focus on trying to win every race towards the end of the year? Great. You're going to win both championships anyway. Or do you just kind of give them a fair fight? And how do you give them a fair fight? Do you just let the drivers pick their own strategy from now on? Like,
no.
Do you just force them onto the same strategy every week?
You force them on the same strategy. You tell Norris in the race yesterday.
Yeah,
you are pitting again. You are pitting again. Choose when. Well, yeah, it is fair, because then you don't get in situations where you've accidentally favoured your second driver by giving him a better
strategy.
But my
point is, if you're letting them pick the strategy, you're not favouring them. They're screwing themselves over.
Yeah, but that's because, like, in this case, Piastri was technically on the faster strategy, simulation-wise. And, like, if you gave Piastri a choice, maybe he would have tried to go to the end. But they ordered him to pit early to beat Leclerc.
Yeah,
which
yeah, but this
in
is
hindsight
what I mean.
Wasn't the right
if
move.
They don't order you to anymore, if he goes, right, I want to try and undercut Leclerc.
Yeah, but you're not going to have your team running this, like your drivers running the strategy, are you? Because you've got loads of strategists.
You give them
like,
the data to help them, but yeah, I don't know. It's a very difficult one, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, unless they can pit at exactly the same time, you're always going to screw over one slightly against
The lead driver should get preference.
Get choice,
pit
exactly.
And they should be on the same number of stops over the course of the race. And yeah, let the second driver get a tyre delta, sure. A bit like what Norris did in Belgium. but I don't. It doesn't sit right with me that Norris basically lucked into the win by getting a bad start and being fifth.
Would you say the same if Oscar had done it and Lando hadn't, to try and get ahead of Leclerc?
What do you mean? So if Oscar went on a one stop,
had they said to Lando, right, we're going to try and box you to put pressure on Leclerc at the front, Oscar stays out, does a one stop and wins?
They couldn't do that because Norris was so far behind after the first stint because he was overtaking Alonso and Russell. Like, the only reason Oscar got forced onto a two stop was because he didn't mess up his start.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. It's fair enough.
They didn't, yeah. And like, Norris still drove well. He did, to hold off the pressure at the end. And Piastri was a little bit ragged. I think in hindsight, he could have not gone for such ambitious moves and maybe waited for one absolute send on the last lap, which he didn't really do.
No, he got a, just from locking up that tyre the lap before, didn't he? He ended up in a bit of trouble there.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I don't think either of them drove flawlessly at all. To be honest, I think George Russell was probably the best driver of the day.
I think it's hard to argue against Leclerc. It was just Ferrari had to make setup tweaks going into the final stint.
He turned into an absolute like red mist merchant at the end, didn't he? After,
he did, but that was in his defence. He did apologise to the team afterwards, but they hadn't told him that they changed the setup at the end of the race.
And they,
so obviously, what
and
they can with
chassis damage. Which basically meant his pace went to like he was already dealing with an issue to do with the setup, which cost him 0.2 from the first pit stop onwards, and then the cracked chassis basically cost him a second a lap from the second pit stop onwards, which is why he dropped 35 seconds to the McLarens over the course of the final stint.
Yeah.
So he did get a bit screwed. He probably could have got a podium. I don't think he would have won.
No.
But maybe he
no.
would have done.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one. But do we want to do a predictions recap for Hungary then? And then I'll give you a quiz, because I think you're going to like this one.
Okay, so you... So scores out of Belgium, for those with a very short memory.
Don't remind me.
43 points to me and 34 points for Matt. You said Lando Norris would get pole position.
Nope.
He did not.
At least
Lando
Oscar
Norris
didn't.
Would win the race, like which he did.
Yep. 2 points.
Oscar Piastri second. Which
4 points.
True. He did. And Lewis Hamilton.
Ah.
Third place.
Yeah.
Not so good.
I think I misspoke. I think I was meant to guess 13. No, he came 12th. He started 12th, finished 12th. It was a great drive.
Exactly. So 4 points, not bad. I said Oscar Piastri on pole position. Not the case. I said Oscar Piastri would win the race. Nope. Lando Norris would come second. 1 point. And Max Verstappen would finish third. But it was ninth. Yeah.
Somehow that was still a better prediction.
We need to
predict Verstappen Hamilton, and neither of us get anywhere close to being right.
So that was 4-2, was it? What do you think about the Hamilton Verstappen incident?
I only saw once the overhead shot, which made it look like there was a small bit of contact between the two of them.
There wasn't.
Have you seen the overhead shot? Because all the other angles
I've
make
seen
it
the...
look less. Like I said, I need to see the overhead thing. Shot again, because I'm pretty certain there
is. There actually
new...
isn't one. There, like, the overhead shot gets covered by a tree at the apex, so you generally can't see it.
But there was a live feed, and I'm adamant that you could see it.
The live feed shots were on the barrier of turn four. So
no, they weren't.
Like...
It was definitely the. Definitely, there was one shot you could see from. Overhead.
Go look up the Sky Sports. Ant Davidson did a piece at the Skypad, and like
fair enough.
Both camera angles, it just gets covered by a tree. It's like the universe doesn't want us to see.
At the end of the day, like Max picked the perfect weekend to go for it on Lewis, because Lewis just didn't care. Like
the reason why there was
no penalty was because Hamilton didn't show up. I think
Hamilton didn't go.
Had this been 2021, had they been in a championship fight, what on earth they'd be doing battling
in.
For P11? It would no. Yeah. Hang on a minute. And this is what I don't understand. And especially with like Max fans are going, oh well, Lewis, he was on the outside. You know, he's got to give him space. Yeah, going. It's basically exactly the same as Silverstone 21, except the guy on the outside ran wide to avoid having a crash.
The only difference is Max was as inside as he could be at Turn 4 of Hungary. Hamilton wasn't as inside as he could be at Cops.
Well, at the end of the day, Max shouldn't have been there. Lewis was a lot further alongside.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Silverstone.
Max was unbelievably ambitious. At turn four.
Had Lewis gone to the stewards, he could have made that a penalty. It's just he didn't care.
Yeah. And Max probably wouldn't have gone for it on any other driver.
No.
Because he knew Lewis was depressed and wanted to leave.
I don't think he knew Lewis was depressed and wanted to leave. I just think he's still, Lewis lives rent-free in his head at the end of the
but
day.
But yeah,
he's
Hamilton
still
jumped out the way.
I don't think he did. Well, this is why I don't think he jumped out the way, is I'm pretty certain there was a little bit of contact with Lewis's rear left. I'm adamant, I'm convinced there was, and it just gave him, because you look at the way the car moved, I'm adamant it got a wobble, rather than just Hamilton backing out of
it. If there was any contact there, it's either a puncture or a massive crash.
It was only a tiny skim, but I'm pretty certain there was.
But yeah, that was a great battle for P11, I loved it.
Wow.
yeah, Max, I don't know, maybe he could have gone to the end and finished 5th or 6th or something, but... They pit him again, and there's just no pace, and he couldn't overtake Liam Lawson for half the race.
And I don't think he cares anymore. I think, you know, championship fight is over. Drag it out to the end. He knows he's stuck with Red Bull now next year.
Which I think is a clever move.
Wouldn't it be wild if at the end of next year we lose Hamilton, Verstappen, and Alonso? Because that would mean, apart from the McLaren on the grid now, we'd lose every world champion.
Verstappen won't quit for good at the end of 26, if he does quit at all. He's basically using 26 as a wait and see who's quick, and I'll go there. Basically, is what he's saying.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah.
But that's fine. And I can,
do you
I
want
can
your quiz?
Him. Yeah, let's do it.
So, of course, Jamie 183. We head now into the summer break. You got a quiz that you like to do. You step back through history.
Oh no!
You have got to name me who was leading the world championship heading into the summer break. Every season, 24 backwards.
What about 25?
I mean, you can do 25.
I've got that one up on my screen, so it's Oscar Piastri.
Oh, you're cheating then. That's it, you're disqualified.
2024 was Max.
Correct.
23 was Max.
Correct.
22 was Max.
Correct.
He took the lead after like 5 races, didn't he? Never looked back. 2021... Summer break was after Hungary, and they came back to Spa, didn't they? This is hard, because I know Max had a big lead before Silverstone, but then Hamilton obviously won with a DNF, and then came second with a 9th. I think Lewis Hamilton led the championship.
Correct.
Okay, good. 2020. Was there even a summer break in
2020? I won't give you one there. There was really... I mean, you can make the argument it was Hamilton because he was leading at the end of 19.
Yeah, the break. Yeah.
There was no summer break as such. Yeah.
2019 was Lewis.
Correct.
2018 was very tight at this point, wasn't it? We were at the first race after the summer break in Belgium.
We were.
Vettel won it. I will say Lewis Hamilton, but I'm not sure.
Correct.
Okay. 17. This is more likely to be Seb because he won Hungary, didn't he? Ooh, that's hard. I know Ferrari absolutely capitulated in Asia, didn't they? But up until then, they were doing quite well. I think it was still Hamilton, actually.
Incorrect, I'm afraid.
No, it was Vettel.
Sebastian Vettel had a 14-point lead after the Hungarian Grand Prix.
Oh, okay.
And that's just how bad he choked the second half of the year.
I knew that Hamilton won Spa, and I don't know, I thought he was still ahead before that, but never mind. That's a good quiz. I'd enjoy that.
No, I thought you might like that one.
Who remembers championship standings going into the summer break, though?
It is quite interesting, though, isn't it? Just how fairly often it does change. Like...
we got back to the first one that did change, didn't we?
Hamilton, technically 21. Well. Technically, not really.
Are you admitting that Hamilton didn't win the championship in 2021?
No, I'm not.
Thank you.
I refuse, and I never will. I can't wait. Actually, that's surely going to be the announcement on Thursday, is the FIA are actually giving him that championship back. That makes sense, doesn't it?
What if they give Felipe Massa 2008? That could be it.
Yeah, I genuinely wouldn't mind if they gave Felipe 08, if they gave Hamilton 21. I would not be salty about
that. Hamilton's
only
a six-time champion. You've heard it here first.
No, because then he gets 21, so he's a seven still.
Yeah, but he won't get 21 back. Cause
so what? Hang on a minute. I can Massa gets 08, but Lewis doesn't get 21. How
even
is this
if they,
fair?
If they delete Abu Dhabi for being Michael Massey, Verstappen still wins the title. If they delete Singapore...
Delete Belgium as well.
If they delete Singapore because of Renault, Flavio Briatore... in 08, then Massa wins a championship.
You're cherry picking stats here, Jamie. This is your problem. This is your problem. I'll
pick the stat that Hulkenberg still have more podiums than Lewis Hamilton this year.
Well, fair enough. What's scaring me is that could generally, like, if Lewis does somehow retire now, that might generally be the case this year.
Even if he doesn't retire.
Yeah, it might generally still be the case. Oh, this is painful. Painful. Jamie, have we got anything else to add? I don't think so. We've done
race rating.
Well.
I know we haven't done it. Belgium, like
4, 3, 5.
It was boring as, wasn't it?
3. Nothing happened. I think even a 5. Nothing happened.
4. Yeah. Hungary. It was decent. Hungary was fun. 7.
I'm going to give it a 6. I'm a bit more pessimistic than you nowadays. I'm a harsh critic.
Awfully.
Exactly. Yeah. No race is worth more than the 5, apart from the Shanghai Sprint. It's just the way this works now.
Driver
of the days.
Piastri.
Yeah, possibly. I think Lewis deserves a shout out there as well because he did
George
do
Russell.
Well early on. Hungary, George Russell. Okay. No, I'm going to say Bortoletto at Hungary.
Fair.
Gabriel
you got
Bortoletto.
The real one.
Brilliant driver of the day. Yeah, like we said, we're hopefully going to do a few more random podcasts, of course, over the summer break now. Of course, Jamie likes to go away during the F1 season, and then we've got no... Oh, I mean, I don't know. Jamie's probably
I'm still going away in a few weeks.
Where are you going now? This is ridiculous.
I'm going just to Cannes for a few days, but I thought that won't affect anything.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you all so much, as always, for listening. I mean, get yourself subscribed if you want to. We're not so worried nowadays. We've got over 1,000 subscribers now, so it is what it is. But yeah, Jamie and I will return next week. We might rank the rookies, we might do something else, we might react to Lewis Hamilton's sudden retirement announcement. Who really knows? All I can say is I'm rather scared.
We will be there.